got a jet ski hat.
Oh, yeah. This is
Jet Ski Johnson?
Yeah. Before you and I started working together, when I still lived in Los Angeles, Jesse Johnson and I did a couple episodes of a podcast together.
She's adorable.
She's great. We were doing it during COVID. The studio that we were using kind of shut down again because LA was like up and down with stuff. But she was recently performing in Austin. And we got to be on a couple shows together, and she gave me a couple hats for Lee and myself, and just all around great, great person. I'm really happy for her. She's got a lot of success with Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino going on their Bad Friends tour and being featured on their podcast a lot. So, you know, it's one of those things where I look back and I'm like, you know, I think I might have left LA too soon. I didn't give myself enough time, and now I'm stuck in Texas.
If you would have stayed in LA, the whole comedy scene moved to Austin.
There's still a comedy scene.
LA, you know what I mean?
It's still, I'd say it goes New York, LA, and Austin. That's the tier ranking system right now.
The gold, silver, and bronze.
Yeah, and I would absolutely be a paid regular at the Comedy Store now. I'm already past at the Improv. And I mean, even now, if I go to L.A. and I give them avails at the Comedy Store, they're going to put me on shows. It just would have been a different level.
For sure.
Because everybody that I was with at this point has gotten it, and there was no reason why I wouldn't have. So, you know, it's great to see her thriving.
How did she get the name Jet Ski?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just her name is Jessie. And then everyone started being like, vroom, vroom.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just who knows where a lot of nicknames come from.
So, do you have any nicknames, Mitch?
I was trying to come up with something. Handsome Mitch. And who knows where that comes from?
I mean, that one's a brain scratcher for sure.
You know, there's other people who refer to me as Mitch, the greatest lover I ever had, Burrow, and I don't know why.
And her name's Lee.
Yeah, I'm sure she would be the one to say that. So anyway, that's a long rant to get this thing started, but I'm here now. All that other stuff is in the past. Now it's me and Kelly stuck in Texas. Let's see what we got this week.
I feel like what I need is a nickname now.
Kelly Brokeback Clint. Let me try one more time. Kelly Brokeback Quinn.
Wow. That sounds gay, which is a word that we heard a lot in the Shane Gillis Beautiful Dogs special that we watched.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we can talk comedy a little bit more. The last week, Billy and I and Lee, we've all been sick with strep throat. Well, actually, Billy started off with the flu. And then I think she might have snuck strep in there after we got her diagnosed with the flu. And we all went to Mississippi. And when I got back, I couldn't take it anymore. I went to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with strep.
So did they give you a shot in the butt?
They gave me a shot in the butt. One of it was...
Which cheek?
Sure, my right cheek.
Did you get to pick?
No, I just pulled my pants down over there, and
that's how you get the name Mitch, the most wonderful lover, in
by pulling my pants down. No, at the doctor's office they call me Mitch Big Butt Burrow.
Again, where does that come from?
But hey, who knows? This lady was amazing though, because what she does is she holds the two needles together and pokes you at the same time, so you only feel one. And then she injects the medicine one right after the other. I was like, okay, and then are you ready to do the second one? And she goes, oh, I did them both at the same time. So you only feel one prick, which...
which is also
more than
Lee's
I can
nickname
say.
For you.
So, yeah, I mean, around the house, we've been a little bit, decommissioned. I wouldn't say Billy's been the best behaved, but... You know, and everybody's a little worn down. Everybody's just like, hey, you don't bother me, I won't bother you.
We all have our zones.
So we don't really got to talk too much about the family stuff this week.
Just... There is actually something I want to bring up about Billy.
Oh, okay.
I got a picture from Lee today.
Oh, yeah.
And I've noticed that you fully assimilated into Texas life.
Well, all right, look, I can actually talk about this a decent amount. With the picture that you're talking about today, you know, this football season has started. So at the school, they asked us to send them to daycare with their favorite team jersey. As soon as I got the email without talking to Lee, I bought her a Dallas Cowboys cheerleading outfit.
Perfect.
And it arrived yesterday, just in time. Lee is a big Saints fan.
Yes.
I myself, growing up, I was a Cowboys fan. The Atlanta Falcons were too far away from where I live for me to truly care about them. But for, you know, Dallas, I liked as a teenager. But then when I got out of the Marine Corps, I lived in Seattle. I had season tickets to the Seahawks.
Brag.
Lived in Los Angeles, and that's when the Rams eventually moved from San Diego, as well as the Chargers. Or no, it was St. Louis, right? Whatever. Rams and Chargers moved to Los Angeles. What I've always tended to do is for the NFL, I support the team in the city that I live in because it's more fun to be watching those games and go to those games. Major League Baseball, Atlanta Braves, diehard through and through. NCAA football, Georgia Bulldogs all the way. Two-time champions going for a three-peat this year.
Are you playing?
The Atlanta Braves?
Yeah. Are you playing for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Oh, for the Georgia Bulldogs? It's more of a family thing. My grandmother.
Is a Bulldog?
Through and through. Maybe didn't technically go to the school or anything, but man.
It's a love.
My grandma might have been a little racist back in the day, but growing up, I guarantee you she would have welcomed any football player off the Georgia Bulldogs into her family with open arms.
Nice. It'd be like a blindside thing?
100%. Just take his money and lie about the whole situation. In fact, my sister, when she came out as a lesbian, was really nervous. Nobody cared. When she chose Georgia Tech to go to college, she was shunned from the family. That was her big mistake.
You got to know where the lines are.
Yeah. You know, hooking up with chicks, that's fine. We get it. Boobs are cool.
They really are.
Becoming a yellow jacket, not in this house.
So that's an odd conversation. I literally was in the bathroom after the open mic last night, and a couple of young girls said to me, have you ever been with a woman? Out of nowhere.
You're like, hey, I'm trying to poop. can we talk about this when I'm not on the other side of the stall?
I was like, oh my gosh. Nope, I sure haven't. But I understand women are really pretty and they're way softer and smell better than men.
I know, I'm a big fan. Real quick, though, like right back to the sports thing. I just want to say, here's my viewpoint on it. I want to give Billy an opportunity to be a fan of a sports team that we can go watch games of any week that they're playing there, and not just like, oh, the Saints are coming to Dallas this year.
Right.
You know, and then next year they're playing in New Orleans. Like, you can't go watch a game that you care about. So if she can grow up being a Dallas fan, you know, I think that'll be fun for me and her and Lee probably won't go, but for me and Billy to go watch football games every now and then.
Have you looked at prices?
It doesn't matter. You know, you go to a couple games a year or whatever, but also there's just more, it'll be more camaraderie for her living in Texas. I want to give her the option.
For sure.
I do say go Cowboys a lot just to kind of get her pumped up, but if she wants to, like, stick with mom and be a Saints fan or whatever, or she decides she likes the Texans, like, I don't.
Or if she's a smart girl, she could like the Steelers. It's fine.
I doubt it. Never met a smart person that's a Steelers fan.
Oh, man.
I want to give her the, I don't want her to feel pressured from us to be a fan of a team that's not from here. And then, you know, that'll give me a reason when she gets a little older to justify paying all that money for tickets to go see a game.
I just looked up tickets a couple of days ago.
For the Cowboys?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, with their current record, they should be quite affordable. How much are tickets to Monster Jam?
Monster Jam.
We're definitely going to go to that.
I feel like we'll have our own Monster Jam here in town this Halloween. All I know is I looked up tickets and I was blown away. All the seats in AT&T are pretty good, though. It's really nicely designed stadium. It's like Austin prices for parking there.
So. Oh, I would like to see this game.
What is it?
Rams.
Rams. Standing room is $30.
Okay, here we go. $90 a ticket? So these are standing room?
Those are standing room.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Their seats are comfortable, too.
Oh, there's seats in it?
No, not in the standing room area, but in the stadium, their seats are comfy.
Okay. So here we go.
High in the corners.
I mean, that's not a bad seat.
$114?
Yeah, $114 each. Yeah, so I would buy tickets for that. So
after a little bit of research, we found that if I sit in the highest section possible, off in the corner, behind a pillar, I can get two tickets for $114 each.
Yes.
I mean, it's not as bad. Plus, you know, your little girl gets to experience the live football game. And I think, for that much, I'd do like two or three games a year.
Really?
Yeah, probably. Just depending on how it was. Honestly, like for me personally, I love going to baseball parks.
I love baseball too.
Football, I prefer watching in a bar at home.
That's fair.
It's just, there's a lot going on. It's just a lot, especially like if you have a child with you. But I do think that it would be fun to take her. So I'd do like, you know, two or three games a year like that.
Wow. So which ones are you going to go to?
I mean, if Atlanta comes, we'll take her to that one. And then we looked up the Rams. I'm right. A big Matthew Stafford fan. So, you know, I'd go and watch that game. Also, Stetson Bennett, who played for Georgia when they won the championship 2 years in a row, he's now the backup quarterback to Matthew Stafford. So I'd be a supporter of the Rams, so that'd be fun to watch.
What about the opportunity cost for you? How do you juggle, like, if you're going to a game and it's on a weekend, that takes away a weekend of comedy?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing comedy for 17 years. I feel like I can miss a weekend every now and then. You know, I don't think it's going to make or break my career. Plus, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe I can get Lee to come down with us, even if she doesn't want to go to the game. She loves going to Dallas. I think she would want to go to the game. She'd have to buy her own ticket. But, you know, maybe, you know, she would hang out with Billy in the evening. I could go perform at Dallas Comedy Club or Plano House of Comedy, something like that.
Right.
There's always ways for me to perform.
Right.
In a situation like that.
Yeah. So my trick to anything we do at the ATM studio, the AT&T Stadium, is there is a hotel that's a half-mile walk, which isn't far considering where parking is and whatever. You park there for free, and then after the game or the concert or whatever, you go over and sleep so you can drink as much as you want. And
so this is a hotel that has free parking?
Yeah.
Unheard of in this day and age. That alone makes me be like, yeah, we gotta go to that hotel.
But they also sell parking for the events too. Like, people pay to park in that lot, but yeah. If you already are a hotel guest, you stay there.
That's awesome. There are so, like, most, I stay at Courtyard a lot because I'm like a card carrying member of that hotel,
of the NRA.
Although I have no problem with it. The Bonvoy Club, right, for Courtyard Marriott, and every one of them is $50. I'm already paying $120, $140 for a room. Now you're going to add on a $50 charge for me to park my car? Okay, I'm going to keep that in mind because more than likely that's what I'm going to do when we go down and watch a game. I don't want to go down and watch a game and then drive 2 hours back. It's exhausting.
It is, and you can't drink as much beer as you want.
You can't afford to drink that much beer at football games anyway. It's like $10 a pint or something.
So I have a way of doing things that I probably shouldn't advertise, but here we go.
I know what you do, because we've gone to concerts together and stuff like that. You like to keep a bottle of something in the trunk of the car, and then every time we stop, either for gas or to get barbecue sandwiches at a gas station or
Hunt's Brother Pizza.
Yeah, that's my thing. You, for some reason, are always going to the trunk of the car.
You got to check the spare tire.
And then when we stop at the event, you apparently have to check the spare tire again just to make sure that if someone stabs a tire, you got a replacement for it.
For sure. My trick, though, going into a stadium, they only check you for metal, right?
Yeah.
So if you take a water bottle and pour whiskey in it and then sort of flatten it down, you've got half a bottle of...
Where do you hide this bottle?
In my husband's pants.
Okay.
He likes when I retrieve it.
I bet he does. I bet he does. You guys have such a wonderful, passionate relationship.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I think that's enough family stuff and sports talk.
Yeah, let's stop talking about family.
Let's get into the comedy stuff.
Shane Gillis.
I mean, probably one of the most popular comedians out right now is Shane Gillis. He's gotten a big boost from being on Joe Rogan. He's been a guest multiple times on Kill Tony.
Weren't you and Shane Gillis on the same show one time?
Yeah, we were on the same episode of Kill Tony. This is kind of his rise to fame. He had a podcast called, I think it was called like Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast or something. I can't remember exactly the title of it. But he's a comedian based out of New York. He gets cast for Saturday Night Live. Somebody pulls up a podcast where he's saying ethnic slurs about Chinese people. Or Asian people.
It was Chink, right? That was the one he used.
Oh, my God. You trying to get me canceled? I guess I don't have a career to get canceled from. But here's what people don't seem to acknowledge. What he was doing in this podcast, he was making fun of the old white people in the early 1900s and what their ignorant reactions were to the creation of Chinatown. That's what he was doing.
They didn't see the beauty in going for noodles?
No, I mean, I'd have to go back and listen to it, but it wasn't so much the cuisine. It was just, what are they doing here? But this is what I find very confusing. I was in a stage production of To Kill a Mockingbird, and I portrayed Bob Ewell, and I said the N-word on stage a lot. And I was applauded for my performance. People came up to me afterwards and they were like, my goodness, I can't imagine what it was like playing that role. You pulled it off beautifully. It seemed very authentic. And I was like, okay, now you're actually kind of making me sound bad. When I was portraying it in a hateful manner, people were like, they really enjoyed the performance. So it seems that when you're saying certain words in humor, it's just absolutely not allowed. But when you're doing it in a dramatic role, I guess that it's fine. Now, so as I said, his words and stuff were taken out of context, and this guy just put a bunch of stuff up on Twitter trying to tear Shane down, and then Saturday Night Live dropped him. And then that got him so much attention. He had a meteoric rise in comedy. He put out his own special on YouTube that got a lot of praise. He has a sketch show that does really well, gets a lot of viewers, so much money through Patreon. I mean, he's very, very successful. And so now Netflix, they weren't going to deny his star power, I guess, at this point. And they gave him a special that was just released this week. And that was
Shane Gillis' Beautiful Dogs.
Right. Like I said, I suggested that we watch this to discuss it. And then also, I recommended it to some of my coworkers because I think it's easy to say. Shane is not, I don't think he's edgy. I don't think he's trying to be like using shock factor, which I've criticized in the past to make people laugh. But he's not a PC person. He's certainly not politically correct. And I thought some of my blue-collar coworkers here in Texas would actually enjoy his humor.
Did you get any feedback from them?
Surprisingly, they did not like it.
Really?
I was honestly blown away. Because I watched it with Lee, and it's very rare for me to laugh out loud while I'm watching comedy on TV. But Lee and I both had, you know, quite a few like laugh out loud moments during his special. I think it's really well written, really well performed. I mean, there's not a lot of negative criticisms that I would give this special.
His demeanor is amazing on stage. His ability to just stay kind of in the pocket. He's always sort of has a happy laugh, which is something you do in your comedy as well.
Yes, I feel like if you look like you're enjoying what you're doing, the audience is going to, they're going to enjoy it more as well.
Between the two of you, I think you have more vocal inflection than he does.
So here's a great lesson that I learned that I think just has carried on my whole career. There's a guy named Augie Smith, really great comedian. And I was at this very stale point in my material where I had been doing the same act for a while. And he was watching me and was like, it looks like you're kind of bored up there, almost like you're reciting it. He goes, what you could do is every set, pick a different word in your jokes to put inflection on. And when you're thinking about doing that, it's putting you more in the moment. And it's making it seem more off the cuff and not so rehearsed. So, like, for example, let's say the sentence, the dog barked at me. You know, one set I might be like, the dog barked at me. And then the next set I go like, the dog barked at me. 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 So, like, each time you're, like, thinking of how am I going to say it this time, it's more lively. And so I think that that just kind of moved on into even when I'm, like, not meaning to do that, I do have a lot of vocal, how did you say it?
Inflection.
Yes, a lot of vocal inflection. I don't necessarily intend to turn up the Southern. But I do, like, if I go back and listen to myself, I'll be like, my accent's a little thicker when I'm on stage.
I think it's a little thicker when you drink.
And yeah, for sure. Which I'll talk about that, too, in a little bit. But overall, yeah, I think smiling, showing that you're having a good time, and really just kind of, I wouldn't say, Shane's not monotone.
No, he's not, but he doesn't have the same level of inflection. Your inflection is higher. You're like Bare Naked Ladies level of inflection.
It's been 1 week since I've been on stage.
Yeah, right. But I really enjoyed his persona on stage.
I think he's a very likable guy.
I liked his giggles. He has these silent giggles that he kind of falls back into between bits.
He's not afraid to make fun of himself. This is what I think Shane and I have in common. I feel like we are both very confident in ourselves and our performance abilities, but we are not afraid to self-criticize or make fun of our, like, self-deprecation is okay, and it almost makes it way more enjoyable. I don't want to, like, take away from anything you're going to talk about, but for me, my favorite joke that he had was probably where he's talking about his ex-girlfriend or his current girlfriend used to date a Navy SEAL.
Right.
And
that lined up very closely with a lot of your joke premise and structures, even though it's not the exact same thing.
Right.
The most Mitch Burrow joke in that entire special was that.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
That could be why I liked it so much, but I just really like the fact that he's coming up with reasons to try and put down a Navy SEAL because his self-confidence is low. And he makes it very clear. He's not afraid to admit that what he's doing is, he goes, one thing I like to do is talk badly about my girlfriend's exes. He goes, it's not a good trait. Women do not find it appealing, but it makes me feel better. So I like his honesty and his ability to be truthful about something that's wrong with him.
For me, my favorite self-deprecating moment. I'm sorry, if I talk, does it make you yawn? Is that what just happened? My favorite self-deprecating moment in his comedy, the one that actually made me, like, suck air laugh, was when he was talking about people in his family having Downs and how he got nicked by it.
Yeah, because he talks about...
Well, it's not even about his words. It's about his face.
What was he saying? Was he talking about, like, in COVID? Because the mask covered up from the nose down, and, like, that's where it's really at, is his eyes or something?
Well, he sort of leaned into it. It wasn't, like, a sharp transition, because when he was talking about going and seeing George Washington's stuff,
yeah,
he was saying, they treated me like I was a special man. And the mask didn't help. But then I think...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he was there during COVID.
Right.
They were like, because he's the only person there. And they were basically like, oh, look, he drove himself. That's impressive.
I don't want to give away any of his jokes or whatever, but I mean, just some of the premises he was talking about.
Let's start with what he opened with. He opened just dogging on Australia, and the internet has reacted quite harshly to the dogging on Australia.
I mean, look, Jim Jeffries came over here and criticized America like it was his job. And
well, wasn't it?
I mean, I guess in a way. So, you know what? We sent our boy Shane Gillis over there. And I guarantee you, if he was talking about this stuff in Australia on stage, they'd be eating it up. So, you know, if there's Australians talking about it on the internet, it's just this is what I hate about social media. It gives the loudest people are usually the minority. So all of these people complaining about it, I'm sure it's not a representation of the Australian citizens. They have wonderful senses of humor.
That's fair. I just think it's hilarious that he's already getting kickback on his special.
Again, don't forget, he was quote-unquote canceled, got fired from Saturday Night Live because of some stuff that he said on his podcast. Anything that Shane does now, moving forward, is going to get immediate scrutiny from his haters, and they're going to immediately write about it because he's such a hot topic now.
We have a hot topic in the mall. Do you think Shane's there?
I seriously doubt it. But that could be where he bought that bucket hat from.
Yeah, he definitely wouldn't be able to buy a shirt he could fit in.
Oh, see, that's not nice. You think he's probably a 2X kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's just tall.
He's a lot of boy.
I am not surprised at all that somebody that people would already be going at it, because I bet they were lined up. They had it queued up, ready to go as soon as it was released so they could find anything to criticize him for. And yeah, you had started to say it. He gave him a lot because he uses gay as, like, not being about gay, but, you know.
Right, like, in the way that it was used, like, say, in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Before we... There, I spoke, you yawned.
Because I gave myself a second to... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, talk about Shane saying stuff's gay.
Like, he just says it as a retort. He uses it in a way that I haven't heard in, like, a decade.
Yeah, and he also smiles when he does it. I think acknowledging... You know, sometimes I'll say things that are very misogynistic on stage, and I really hope it comes across as character work. I'm really making fun of a person that would talk like that. Obviously, I have a very strong-willed, independent wife. I have a daughter that I'm trying to raise to be like that. My mother was in the Navy. You know, women have always played a very important role in my life. So when
people, they make you dinner and wash your clothes.
No, my mom never did that. but you know, they've always been strong people and influences to me. So people who are misogynistic and not feminist that believe in equality, I find to be quite comical people. So I will pretend to be like that when I'm on stage. And I think, like, the way Shane kind of gives, like, a smirk after he says something's gay, you know, like, I feel like it's kind of the same way that I'm doing it in, like, it's very tongue-in-cheek. And so you can be like, you get where I'm coming from. Like, I'm not that guy, but those guys are silly. You know what I mean?
Sure. I enjoyed the special from beginning to end. The part that he used gay, I just thought it was unnecessary. Because he does have some really funny-ass shit at the end about gay military. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that kind of, like, distracted from it. Because it was already in my head. Why is this guy using this word like this so much? But that's just me.
Yeah, you also call little people midgets.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't pick and choose which words you can say and you can't say.
Well, I'm not, like, the word police.
I can't believe you're going to sit here. I mean, I can understand what you're saying.
I feel like it just took away from the stuff that was actually really freaking funny. And when he said those things earlier, I didn't feel like it added anything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like it was necessary. Like, other words would have worked just fine. And I felt like it would have made the other stuff that he did at the end that was so hilarious kind of stand out more.
You know what I think it is? Just my guess here.
I have no idea what you think it is.
I speak like I speak in real life on stage, you know, so like I cuss a little bit. I say titties a lot on stage because I like to talk about titties sometimes. I think Shane, I think he was probably like a frat guy in college. I'm not 100% sure.
I could absolutely see that as well.
But I just think he's a guy that's probably grown up saying stuff is gay. You know, it may not even be something that he intentionally wrote a certain way or anything. I just think it, like, some of that might have kind of been like an off the cuff, like, you know, just kind of dumb thing that he said. And then he had his, like, actually prepared material at the end about gays in the military or whatever.
That was funny.
So, yeah, okay, so that's a good negative criticism that you have. I won't, like, say that you're wrong for that. I can understand why you're being so gay about it.
I am, absolutely. I mean, I'm being gay about that. It's not just because under the bench I have a lady eating me out.
Okay, that's, you know what? You take things too far sometimes. But when she's done, send her over here.
Why do you want your vag eaten too?
Yeah, that's it.
I loved his Trump impression at the end. He's so good.
So Curtis, who's the general manager of the Comedy Store, he is so over Trump impressions. Alec Baldwin, the new guy that's on Saturday Night Live, every single comedian. But he called me. He specifically called me one day to talk to me. And he was like, man, I hate Trump impressions, but Shane Gillis has the best Trump. He said it is so good.
It's so good.
So was it the death? Was it the who would have a funnier death, him or Joe Biden? Was that the impression he was doing?
He was recounting things that Trump had said in a speech after.
Oh, okay.
And it was hilarious. I mean, it was spot on what he was saying, and then what he chose to say just strung together this narrative that.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So overall, I would say that this would be one that I would watch again.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it again just to, like, kind of, like, really analyze it this time. I mean, honestly, I was just watching it and enjoying it. So, yeah, I would definitely watch this one again to kind of break some of the stuff down. You know, one thing, even now, I do not watch a lot of stand-up comedy because I don't really enjoy stand-up. But there are some. Shang Wang had a Netflix special that I really enjoyed.
So you just said you don't like stand-up?
Oh, I hate it.
So you don't like watching all of your friends perform, like when you go down to the mothership?
I mean, that depends. But honestly, no. There's a few people that I'll sit and watch. Not many. 17 years of going to open mics and being on showcases and just, it gets to the point where you're just like, man, I'd rather just be. This is why I drink too much, because I can't just sit there and bear with it anymore. I mean, are we kind of done with Shane a little bit?
I don't really have anything else to say except that he actually taught me some stuff during his comedy special, which was delightful.
Okay, well, I would love to hear that. I do want to talk about the drinking at the end.
Sure.
Let's go over some of the stuff that you. Oh, because this is what I was going to say. Especially early on, I used to watch a lot of specials. Ron White, Jim Norton, Bill Burr. I'd even watch, like, people who I didn't think that I had anything in common with. And then someone who I've always loved, Chris Rock, I've always loved him. I really started watching him to look at his pacing. Like, if you watch him, you'd notice that his feet go down in like a rhythm with his speech.
And Ron White stands behind a microphone with a scotch in one hand and a cigar in the other. At least he used to. He doesn't drink anymore. But you saying you learned some stuff from this, you can always watch and learn from other comedians. It is a great tool to use to improve yourself.
So let me clarify my statement. I learned a lot about comedy, but I actually learned some, like, trivia facts.
Oh, okay. I just went on the longest rant for no reason.
I loved it. It took me a while to figure out where we were going because I was talking about what George Washington's teeth were made out of and some little facts about Jackie Robinson. That's what I was talking about.
His teeth weren't made out of wood, were they?
So the way I had heard it is that he had several different sets of dentures.
Okay.
But Shane was talking about the ones that they had on display at his house. And
those are?
Lead.
Oh, that's not good.
And, like, I don't know, horse Mercury. Teeth or donkey teeth up top, and animal teeth, and then slave teeth on the bottom.
Do you think they pulled out...
Maybe they just lost them naturally. Let's go with that.
Yeah. I mean, slavery was bad enough as it is, you know?
But I think that's also important because he taught me that all the bad things I've heard about slavery, there's
always something more. Okay. Well, then, yeah, there was some good stuff to learn through that. I learned that when you finger your partner, you should do it like you're clearing an urban environment in a gunfight.
Oh, I thought it was you were supposed to do it like you were clearing an object from someone who's choking's throat.
No.
Damn it.
You don't give them the Heimlich maneuver. See,
this is why I would be terrible at being a lesbian.
Yeah, I mean that and the fact that you
aren't attracted to women.
Yeah, that's a big part one. Of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned it earlier, and this is just going to be a little bit of a confessional part from me. I'm really thinking about quitting drinking. I got two sets the last time I was at the mothership. One of them was at, I don't know, like 8:55. It was my first set of the night, and the other one was like 11:50. So my last set of the night. And I got the recordings from them. When I got back, I was listening to them. I started drinking after my first set.
Right, that makes sense.
And I'm not overdoing it. I didn't go ham until after my last set. And then I got really drunk.
What do you mean you didn't go ham?
Hard as a motherfucker.
I like that.
That's from Jay-Z and Kanye West collaboration.
That is way better than the pork product.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You should see me when I go spam.
What's spam?
I have no idea yet. I'll figure it out, though. Special ed as a motherfucker.
Stupid pussy-ass mug.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I'm watching this second set that I did. I'm just not as sharp. I'm very critical of people who always go up on stage stoned. I've told you, like, you shouldn't be going up after drinking too much because you'll get a false idea of where you're at while you're on stage, and then you just don't perform as well. And so I guess, you know, I feel like after 17 years, I know where I'm at and when I should stop or whatever. But honestly, like, my second set was not nearly as good as my first set. And when I watch it, I can just tell that I'm just not performing as well. I mentioned it before. I have no off switch.
When you start drinking.
Yes.
It's just keep going.
If I'm at home, I can have a beer or two. Not a problem. But, man, when I'm out in those social situations, like I said, I don't really like comedy. So I'm spending my time the bar drinking or talking to people. And I'm not really good at, like, social interacting, and so the alcohol loosens me up a little bit and makes me enjoy it more. But I gotta figure out a way to to bypass this. I got to figure out a way to be able to do comedy and to not rely on alcohol to keep me going through the night where I'm not miserable just hanging out in these situations.
You like people.
Debatable.
Okay. You like some people. The people you like passionately.
I'm just very introverted. I think that I grew up with some issues as I was up as far as, like, being accepted and liked. And so I just feel like I maybe have to try harder. I'm constantly questioning if I belong somewhere or if the people there are actually happy that I'm there or whatever it is. I am just covering it up with alcohol. It makes the night more bearable.
Okay.
It's not that I don't like people. It's just that I'm more of like trying to get into a headspace where I like myself, maybe. I don't really know. There's probably some stuff I should talk to my therapist about.
I feel like we had a breakthrough right here.
But the bottom line is, yeah, the breakthrough is you're like, I got to find another co-host. The bottom line is just that it does affect my performance. Not so much that I think other people would notice. But enough to where when I go back, I'm like, normally I feel like I perform at an A plus. This is like a B plus.
Okay.
And I just can't do that. I have such short opportunities to perform.
Right.
That I need to take full advantage
A-game all the time.
Of every set. I'm like going up at the mothership with brand new material. I'm going up on a weekend show that's completely sold out, and I'm going up there saying things that I have never said before. And to have the confidence to do that takes a lot. And if you go back, I played that one.
And it was really good.
And it was great. And then on the second show, it just didn't land as well. And, you know, I, like, said it a little bit differently. My speech, you know, you're talking about the inflection. It wasn't really there. So I'm just like, I cannot do this to myself. I really have to be sharp on what I'm doing up there and make sure that I'm giving the best performances that I can give.
Let's get one question out of the way before we go any further. Is it possible for you to have 4 drinks or less?
Not in that environment.
So for you, it's an all or nothing thing.
Yes. At home?
So this always works for me. When I don't want to drink, I just tell people that I'm not sure if I'm pregnant right now.
I'll try that next time.
For sure.
Most people would be like, well, you look like you're pretty far along.
Twins?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mitch, I think I can answer that question for you. I mean, look, the comedy scene is full of people who are sober, so it's nothing to say that I'm not drinking. No one's going to, like, be judgmental or anything like that.
What goes on in your head when you don't drink and you're in those environments? Or have you been in those environments where you don't drink?
Yeah, I just kind of, like, want to leave.
Okay.
It's not fun. It's kind of boring, maybe. I don't know. I need, like, an active thing happening at all times.
Right.
When I'm drinking, I'm doing something. That's another thing. Like, when I have a drink in my hand, it's constantly going up. I don't sip on it over time. I'll finish a drink in, like, 2 to 3 minutes.
Wow.
And then I don't wait very long to do it. And like I think I mentioned that something. That night, I blacked out. I woke up. At some point in time, I had gone outside with just my socks on. I had those little stickers all over my socks the next morning. I don't know if I like went out to puke or what, but it was like after we got home. Yeah, I was completely gone.
That's a pretty big night.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly was, but, you know, luckily I didn't wake up feeling too bad.
Then I bet you did go out to puke.
Maybe. What? Oh, my gosh. This is another time. In Los Angeles, I don't remember doing this. Somebody gave me a ride home. Lee and I think Billy might have been born by now, but this was my, like, downward spiral of I'm leaving L.A. and trying to figure out how to deal with it or whatever. I came home so drunk. Lee woke up. I was throwing up in the bathtub.
Ew.
Had no memory of it the next day. No memory of it. I, personally, can't remember
throwing up within the last 10 to 15 years. Oh, how good does a bathroom floor feel? Like a tile?
Yeah, it's you're like a dog.
Oh, my gosh. It's so...
It's like, get that naked skin on that tile.
But, like, after she told me that she came in there and I was throwing up in the bathtub, I just was wondering, like, when, how many times have I done this? Because I cleaned it up. There was no evidence of it. I like, threw up, and then I cleaned up the bathtub. So, you know, the whole time I was living with Dave Waite, who's going to be coming here September 30th and performing at Night Street Studios at 920 Night Street. Tickets are available now at wichitafalls.ticketleap.com.
That's leap like a frog.
That's right. wichitafalls.ticketleap.com. Like, how many times when I was living in that house did I throw up in the bathroom and then just clean it up and go to sleep and not remember?
I feel like we should ask them.
I mean, they wouldn't know because I'm telling you, it was spotless. Unless Lee cleaned up a little bit more after.
I think the easier thing to do, now that you're quitting drinking, this is some bad information, but you throw up in the shower because you can just waffle stomp that shit down.
Mm. Yeah, I know a lot of people do that with poop.
Grody. Oh, Nat.
That's a good way to end the podcast, huh?
I mean, everything ends at poop, right?
Mm, or it starts there. Once you poop, you know, you're free to go about your day. That's my favorite thing. Drink a nice, strong cup of coffee. About 5 minutes later, you go and poop. I always do it on company time. And then you're ready to start your day. You feel lighter. You feel relaxed. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a wonderful way to start the day. So I say everything begins after poop.
I think you should start your day with Mitch and Kelly Stuck in Texas.
That's a good idea.
Next week, I'll have some new material that Mitch will help me turn from complete dog shit into something that may be acceptable.
I am not a miracle worker, but I'm sure we can come up with something.
That's not what Lee said.
Heyo, in the bedroom. Oh, check, check, check.
I got to turn the mic on. Let's try it again.
Check, check, check.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more? One.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Get your booty on the floor. Gonna get up and get down.